Okay, let's start up again. So I was getting some questions during the break about, you know, there's definitely some confusion about what's happening with the various pieces. I just want to say, if you're not, the only people here I expect not to be confused are the people who have already done a good bit of web programming. If this is your first time doing web programming, I expect you to have some questions, at the very least, about how all these pieces fit together. Web applications have a lot of bits there. It's a different architecture than you're used to in terms of programming. Even if you've been using the web for as long as you can remember, that doesn't mean that all these things are going to come naturally to you. And that's fine. Pay attention. Keep asking those questions. Please ask me them here. And we should try getting, try explaining it. But I've taught this now a few times, and I've tried to figure out what's the best way for me to make it so that everything is clear. And the best way I found is just to try to simplify things as much as possible. But there's only so much I can simplify. I can't take away all the complexity because there's certain inherent complexity there. This is one reason why I use Node for the server, because that way I'm only teaching one programming language. I'm not teaching two programming languages. And also that's one reason why I use Jade, because Jade makes it you don't have to mess with HTML quite so much. This will later on use a lot of frameworks. We're not going to go deep into CSS or deep into HTML. We're going to focus on this client-server computing and this how the data moves between the client and the server. So don't stress if you feel like you don't understand things. Just keep working at things. Having said that, any specific question on what I just have talked about? Mm-hmm. Okay, now so let's say I want to make a new function here. I want to make my web server serve something else. How do I do that? Let's make some changes to the web server. That's a great idea. So let's first start with saying, that's not what I want. I do not want that window. I want this. Okay, so now I have desktop form demo. So I've got my files here. I just want to add a file that I can access. I just want to make a simple text file. Let's call it going to public. Let's just make a hello.txt. This hello world. So now there's a file hello.txt. I'm just getting rid of this because, so I'm here now. So now I've got, let's start form demo again. So the web server's running again. All I have to do now to get that file, I think it should work. So for those of you who can't see it, it really does say hello. So what happened there is just that if you go into public, as I said, these are just files. Any file that's in the public directory can be accessed remotely. How do I get the thing? If there's /images, I could put any image files I want and they would just load there. And I can incorporate them into my web page. So the idea is that this is typically with any sort of web application, you can have some amount of static content. The static content, don't bother writing any code for it. Just stick it here. And the Node, the Express framework builds in a static web server written in Node, written in JavaScript, that will take care of all this for us. So, but that's not what you're really wondering. How do I make something that will actually do something a little more interesting? So let's go to this code. Can I make a new page? Yes, I can. How do I make a new page?
You copy one of the router.gets, use it to make the new page, then you'd also have to go and create a JSON file for that page.
So exactly, those two things. We have to make a new route, and we have to make a new JSON template. Those are the two things. So let's go through and do that. So let's make router.get for in class. Okay? We made an in class thing. We're in a function. Okay. I need to disable tap to click. So I made a function. I'm making the function here, closing it off. What should this function do? Well, whatever I want, but the key thing I need to do is I need to return a response. What sort of response do I want? Well, we got the response. Turns out there's a couple of ways of doing this. If I just wanted to send a basic text or something like that, I think this works actually. I think it's send. So. Keep doing that. Okay. Okay, the web server's up. Let's go over here. Let's make sure it's still alive. Okay, it loads. Okay, they got not found, so that was not what I wanted. What did I define it as? I said in class. Oh, thank you. Okay, let's restart that. So one thing interesting to note, if you change JSON templates, you don't have to restart the web server. But if you change the JavaScript, you have to restart the web server. It's there. There it is. What's the page source? Hello. That's it. So what I'm trying to show you here is that there's nothing particularly mysterious about what we're doing. It's just we need to send some data back. And here's the data we're sending back. Now, of course, what we normally want to send back is some sort of HTML document, not just some plain text. Could I hard code an HTML document in the string? Yes. I could. I could do things like, let's try doing it here, unless I can know. HTML, head, body, head, slash head, body, p, hello, again. That's kind of a web page. Actually, let's make it a little more interesting, so we can actually tell, make sure it's actually a. We can tell it's more than just text, that we actually got some sort of formatting. What? Oh, I did. All right, thank you. Okay, head. Oh, and I have to close HTML. Thank you. You know something that's funny though? The browser will probably be fine even if I didn't do that. One of the reasons why. The rendering engines in web browsers are so complicated is because they're able to deal with very, very broken pages. Oh, and let's add something to the header. Let's say title. Okay. Lame page. Okay. So let's see what we got here. Oh, not that one again. This one here, and we restart. Go over here. Let's reload. Lame page at the top. Hello again. Let's look at the page source. It's exactly the string that we sent. So if you don't like ResRender, you don't have to use it. But honestly, do you want to be creating web pages like this? No. You really don't. What you want to do is instead use a template language to specify the web page. That's all this is doing. When it's called ResRender, it's saying load this template and use it to define the web page. And when you're filling out the template, oh, you might want to specify some parameters to, you know, maybe make it not exactly like the template. Here are the parameters to the template in this object that you specify as the second argument. I mean, there is definitely magic from your perspective for how this stuff all gets called. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Like, if we actually look at this res send, we go to the browser. Let's bring up the development. Okay, so let's bring this here, and then we'll do a reload. So now we've got this get. What does this get look like? So you'll see that there are all these headers. Request. Well, there's all these response headers. We got keep alive, date, etag, xpowered. Let's see, edit. Let's edit. Okay, well, that actually doesn't do much. We don't care about the request headers. I'm saying the response headers. So we don't get many headers, but there are these headers right here, connection, date, etag, xpowered by express. Did we enter those? No, we did not generate those. That's all from code that we didn't write, that's been given to us. Why does it say connection keep alive? Why does it say etag w slash whatever? I don't know. There's some code there that did that. That part is magic from your perspective, and that's fine. When you start doing programming at the level of web applications, there is always some degree of magic, saying that there's going to be parts of the system that work in ways that you don't understand all the details of. And that's inevitable when you're dealing with programs that are millions of lines of code in size. So I got a question during the break saying, what actually handles the button when you hit submit? What actually handles the event, the click event, and all that stuff? It's like, well, the browser does. It's part of the specification. You're basically specifying an interface in a very high-level declarative language called HTML. It's an interface description language from our perspective. And it tells you about how to do things like buttons on forms. I mean, how much code would you need to make this, to just code something like this in any other language? It's going to be a lot more code, like that initial form. Doing this in any sort of regular programming language will take a bit of code because you'd have to have event handlers for how you handle each of these fields and what you do in response and stuff. I mean, this is one reason that web programming has taken over even in places that aren't on the web. We've developed a lot of powerful technologies for developing web applications. I mean, this is just the beginning. This is not a very sophisticated interface. Using other JavaScript frameworks and stuff, you can get very sophisticated interfaces that you can create with very little code written by you. So given that you can do this on the web, why not do this for other applications? Desktop applications even. That's why web technologies aren't just on the web. So this is technology circa, the sort of form stuff, this is like 95, 96, 1995. This is old web stuff. Most of the core web, though, does date from there. There's lots of other stuff we're going to talk about that's much newer, but this is the core. Why can't you build a full desktop interface using this technology. What's missing? Because I just said, oh, I've got this page, I've got this here, I've got these forms, I've got inputs, I can type in things, I've got buttons, I can add in a form, I can have other kind of controls, I can have radio buttons, I can have sliders and stuff. Using CSS, I can make this all pretty, change the fonts, change the layout. What can I do?
Well, it's not really a desktop application, it has to live in a browser, is it?
Well, yes and no. Like, for example, when you do mobile programming, there are these things called web views, where the entire interface is essentially a web page, but it doesn't look like a web page. It can even look like a native widget, whatever it is on the platform. So just because it's web technologies on the back end doesn't mean it isn't anything in the front. What I'm saying is, what I'm asking right now is, I've given you, with HTML, I've given you a way of creating a UI. I've given you a way of storing and processing data because I can get whatever data I want from the server. It just generates a web page and sends it to me. And then when I want to send data back to the server, I just hit, create a form and just hit submit. I type in what I want and hit submit. Could I implement an email application using this technology? Yes. And people did. But they were pretty bad email applications. Let me put it this way. How do I interact with this in any way except for typing in data and hitting submit? Can I have a pop-up menu? I mean, there are these drop-down menus you can get as standard buttons or something, but I can't really do much. Can I change the way this look? How can I change the way this page looks? So I can generate arbitrary HTML from the server and download it to the browser. I could type in some magic input here and send it to the server and it will send me a new page. But if I want to change this interface, what do I have to do with the level of technology that I've shown you? I have to load a new page. Has to be a completely separate HTML document. I mean, I can say whatever I want here, hit the submit button, it can go to whatever URL I want. The server that can use that to compute, to make a new HTML document that would then be sent to the browser. But it has to be an entire web page. That web page can be arbitrarily complicated, but it has to be an entire web page. So what was the problem with email browsers written using this technology is that whenever you wanted to read another message, when you press that button to say, I want to read the next message, it would go to the server, get the email message, and then show you that new email message in a new page. Every time. Every change in the interface would require a transition to the server. And you all have seen how long it can take to load a web page. I mean, these web pages are pretty easy, so in principle they can load faster, but still, you have to go to the server and you have to come back. So I'm mentioning all this because I'm trying to explain the hole that JavaScript on the browser fills. Why do we have JavaScript in the browser and we don't just have HTML? And the reason is HTML, you can't update the interface programmatically. I mean, there were these things called dynamic HTML and things which could kind of do it in some very, very simple forms, but what you really want to be able to do is change the interface, change what data is displayed to the user interactively. I want to have this change in some, like for example, when I type in a wrong email address, I don't want it just to type in a wrong email address, have me hit submit, and then have another form come back saying you typed in a bad email address. What I'd like to do is have something look at that data as I type, oh, Soma, and just type that. It says, hey, where's the at sign? I'd want it to turn red. I'd want it to say, hey, where's my, you haven't submitted things correctly. I want to have it respond to to the user's input as it is typed. That's what I can do with JavaScript. That's why JavaScript was invented, to do that. Yes?
Can it do it if, let's say you put Soma and submit, and then can JavaScript take what's in the form and if it's something, send something, and if it's something else?
With JavaScript, I can control when to send things. I can do data validation on the browser and then decide to cancel the form submission when the button's pressed. What happens is then the button press doesn't actually cause the submit to happen on the form. It causes JavaScript to run. And the JavaScript then looks at it and says, am I ready to submit or not? But this is why I have client-side code. It's not to implement the fundamental functionality of the web application. The fundamental technology, the fundamental data processing and everything happens on the server. You already have everything you need, in a sense, for writing writing complex web programs that would just produce web pages. What you can't do is make fancy interfaces. That's where the JavaScript in the browser runs. But that's why when you're thinking about JavaScript in the server, JavaScript in the client, JavaScript in the server, it's doing the real work. JavaScript in the browser is making things pretty and paying attention to the user. Separate concerns. Keep that in mind, because if you don't keep that in mind, you're going to be very confused about what the different things are doing. It's like, why do I have JavaScript here? Why do I have JavaScript there? That's the separation. Questions there? So the last thing I wanted to talk about was the debug module, because that was something that came up in the tutorials, and I just wanted to make sure that was clear. What we were talking about there. So there is the node debugger. So if I say if I do the node debugger, that means saying node debug, and then. So now I am in the node debugger here. And what can I do here? I can do things like I can just have it continue. That's actually not that useful. This, if I put in say, remember if I put in a breakpoint here. I put this here, and then I go here and run this. Then I say continue. Now it's running. And now I go here, and I load this. Should just load. Vanilla. Go down. Say submit. And now it should not return because it's busy. Break in routes index. Because it's a debugger. Now I can do things like say REPL, and I can see what state is. I can see the objects. Now I can inspect the state of the environment in that function. I'm now as if I was, I can enter in code and change things right there. I did this last time. But then separately, there is this debug thing. So how does debug work? We look in the this has a debug. Sorry. We're almost out of time here. So this var debug, this is for debug messages. You have to require this module. And then you can do things like have the debug messages. So let's try that, and then I will stop. So I have var debug, add this in, and then I say debug, I'm going to have to stop here. I'm out of time. But the idea is now you would call this, and if you enable debugging, you all can start packing up now, but I'll just do this. Debug equals star. So you see all these debugger messages here, and then I can start this end. Oh, there's an error there. Anyway, play with this in the tutorial.